Trae Young and Steph Curry also have something else in common. Do you know what that is?
Zero finals.
That's correct.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Can I get a podcast? It is Tuesday, June 25th. I am your host, Jeffrey Cooperstein, alongside my good friend and TCU grad, Chris Gross.
Yes, that's me. I'm along with UNT grad, Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Yes.
We got a lot to talk about here on the podcast. We've got some
so much.
We've got some big news we've got to get into. Luka Doncic is your Rookie of the Year.
Surprise.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to break that down coming up here in the second segment. But first of all, this is going to be like our official
trademark, copyright.
Yeah, the
patented
preview for the free agency, since we will not record again before free agency opens. So what we're going to do here, Jeffrey, I have a list of five guys.
Let's go.
That are either have been connected or rumored about to the Mavs. We'll talk a little bit about them, and then at the end, we'll make our pick for who we want to be a future Maverick. So first up on this list is Kemba Walker. Now, Kemba Walker, I think, is probably the most rumored about guy
Yep.
who's been connected to the Mavericks. Obviously, this is a guy who you would love having on your team. Last year, averaged 25.5 points, over 25.5 points, almost 6 assists per game.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Kemba is an all-star point guard, perennial all-star. Can score any which way you want it from three. He scores at all three levels, at the rim, mid-range, and three. He's a solid defender. He's a good team runner, and more importantly, he's a good teammate and a good leader. And he has the ability to play off the ball, which obviously the Mavs need because him and Luka need to coexist. I think Kemba would be a great fit here. It depends on what Charlotte wants to do with their cap space, whether they're going to give him a supermax or not. And we'll see. I think Charlotte obviously has the ball in their court because they can give the extra year, and I think it's like 80 more million than the next team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. I think Kemba would be a great fit.
Yeah, as I was actually talking with Chuck Cooperstein, some guy you may know
Weirdo.
About this, and he said that there's a possibility that this is a sign-and-trade.
Could be, because that would net the Mavs some cap room to be able to do something else. I'm not sure who would be going the other way in a deal like that. Maybe it's a Jalen Brunson. That would suck because I like Brunson. But maybe it's a Maxi Kleber or a Dorian Finney-Smith who the Mavs sign and trade over to Charlotte, something like that.
You mentioned a little bit about how Kemba would be able to coexist with Luka Doncic. And that was an issue we saw last year with Dennis Smith Jr. And that was just a relationship that just wasn't working. That wasn't going to work with those two guys on the court. Do you think there would be an issue with Kemba in that way?
No, I think Kemba has shown an ability to be able to move without the ball and create without the ball, something Dennis hasn't had to do or been able to do for his young career. So I think Kemba is better off in that regard. And I think since Kemba's been around in the league, he knows what it takes and he knows how to play with others, so to speak. So I think it would be a good pairing.
So there's Kemba Walker. Let's move on to our next guy. The next guy is Malcolm Brogdon. He was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 2017. Last year became the 8th player in NBA history. He shot 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% on free throws, and he's a good defender too.
I would like Brogdon a lot. It's going to be very difficult to get him because he is a restricted free agent.
That's part of what I was going to say, restricted free agent.
He is a restricted free agent. Milwaukee does have some cap hurdles that they have to figure out here. So maybe if the Mavs were to sign Brogdon to a pretty big offer sheet, it would complicate some things for Milwaukee. Milwaukee's made some moves. They traded Tony Snell over to the Pistons, and they've made a few moves here and there to try to clear up some room because there's another guy on this list who we're going to get to in a minute, Chris Middleton, who is going to command a whole bunch of money. So if Middleton does sign this max, Brogdon might be gettable, but it's still going to be difficult.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think if you're wanting the Brogdon to Dallas situation to happen, one of the things that's good in the Mavs court is they do have so many free agents that they're going to have to worry about, and that's going to take up a lot of cap space. So if you're a Mavs fan, kind of what you're hoping is that either they don't sign him because of the lack of cap space, or if they do sign him to something, it's not going to be as high and you'd be able to match it.
Right. And I think what they would have to do is they'd have to wait to see what Chris Middleton does. And I think I'm not sure if the Mavs can wait for Brogdon to commit to them. And even after they commit to them, I believe it's 48 hours. It used to be 72. I think it's 48 hours the Bucks have to match. So I don't know if the Mavs just I don't think the timeline fits.
So Malcolm Brogdon, that's our second guy on our list. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're going through our list of five rumored about free agents, talking about some potential Mavs targets that could be on their way to Dallas. Who knows, by the next time we record this podcast, one of these guys could be officially a Dallas Maverick.
Well, they could be a verbal commitment.
Well, yes.
We've seen certain verbal commitments back out.
The moratorium.
Yeah.
And during this moratorium period. All right, the next guy I want to talk about as we close out our list of guards here, and that's Patrick Beverley. Beverley, he's 30 years old, but he is a guy who can play defense, and he can also shoot the three.
Patrick Beverley's that one guy, super cliche, who you hate to play against, but you love to have on your team. He's an instigator. He's dirty. He's nasty. He gets down in the trenches. He guards the opposing team's best guard slash wing. He'd be a perfect fit for the Mavs because, like Kemba, he doesn't score like Kemba, obviously, but he doesn't need the ball to be effective on offense. Luka can still have control, and Beverley is a good enough shooter to where he can space out the floor. So I think that'd be a really good addition. He's not probably number one, number two on the list, but if the Mavs swing and miss on some of their big free agents, he might be up there.
Yeah, and one of the issues with Beverley that you have to worry about is durability. That's something he's always had an issue with. 78 games he played last year. That's the most he's played in a season. You had a couple seasons where most of his seasons in the league have been under 60 games a year. So that's obviously something you would have to worry about. It's just, I think that would be a fit on this team where he showed in the playoffs that he can be a pest. And I think that's
absolutely.
I think that's a fun addition and a nice addition to have if you do make it to postseason.
Yeah, play. No, that's definitely Beverley's best quality, is annoying the other team. He's had some spats here with the Mavs. You know, we had that incident with Don Nobler on the court last year, and Saleh Mejri's gotten into it with him more than one occasion. So yeah, Beverley is that instigator. He's that pest, and I think he would be a good fit as well. I'm not sure where he ranks on the priority list, but I wouldn't be mad if the Mavs secured him.
So let's move away from guards. The next guy on this list that I want to talk about is Nikola Vucevic, and he is a guy who you could see fitting well with Kristaps Porzingis in the ability to play. Vucevic could play a stretch four.
Sure.
And what do you see from Vucevic?
Well, I think Vucevic is a pretty true five if Porzingis is in the lineup. He was the one, if you remember, like back in January and February, the Mavs were being rumored to, was Vucevic. He was really the first big name guy that the Mavs were rumored to, because his agent is the agent of Luka Doncic, and it sounds like Vucevic wants out of Orlando and wants to go elsewhere. I think Vucevic is a really good player. Let me start by saying that. But I think he is too similar to Porzingis, where he's not quite good enough of a rebounder, not quite good enough a defender. And I think they're kind of almost too much of the same player to work together well.
You like his ability to shoot the three?
Yes, absolutely.
But it would be definitely a defensive liability in the front court if you had those guys playing together.
Yeah, and I don't think the Mavs are going to pursue Vucevic really hard.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it makes sense. You know, the Mavs are trying to build this European super team, and you have Doncic and you have Porzingis. Why not bring in Vucevic? He's a good player. I just don't see the fit.
We heard from Brian Windhorst about a month ago.
Windy.
And he said, I don't know what it is, but the Mavs are up to something this free agency.
And Bobby Marks said the same thing, I think, 2 days ago, where he said the wild card in free agency is the Mavs. So the Mavs have something cooking up. We have no idea what it is at this point.
Last player let's get to, and it's Al Horford. He was a member of NBA's all-defensive second team last year. Horford definitely not going back to Boston.
Yep.
And we saw, it was kind of going back and forth last week, where the rumor said that the Mavs were, heavily favored to be in for Horford, and then some of the local media came out and said, no, this is not the case. But if you are looking to start to build add defense to this team, you can't get much worse than Horford. The only thing that worries me is his age. I don't think he would be a long-term guy bringing in here.
And the problem is that he's looking for a four-year deal.
Yeah.
And someone's going to give him a four-year deal. The rumor, I think his max is 4 years, $111 million, something along those lines. And I don't think that's a price the Mavs would be willing to pay because they are on the, you know, on this timeline where they're looking for younger guys. Horford would be a great addition. I think he'd be the perfect fit because he's a 3-and-D guy. He's a solid defender, and he can really shoot it. He's a veteran who's won a lot in the league and knows how to do it. So I think he would be a good addition, but the numbers don't add up to me, so to speak.
I think this would be the perfect situation if the Mavs were like 1 year ahead in where they were. So that means you've got 2 years of Luka, 1 year where Luka's playing with Kristaps Porzingis, and Horford was at his same age, and you were getting him on like a 2-year deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even like 3, where you're like, okay, we know we're a contender. We want this defensive piece. We're willing to overpay and kind of take this guy in longer than we want. But it just doesn't, it's kind of all, nothing really adds up for it right now.
Yeah. And at 3 years, I think I would do it. Even if it was a 4-year deal, but maybe a team option on the fourth year, I would consider it. But to have Al Horford at 37 making $28 million is not great.
Okay. So the guys that we've listed, we have Kemba Walker, Malcolm Brogdon, Patrick Beverley, Nikola Vucevic, and we have Al Horford. So I'm telling you, you can pick one of these guys to play for the Mavs next season. This is going to be the one guy they sign in free agency. Who's the guy you pick?
I think it's Kemba. I think Kemba's in the prime of his career. I think he's the best fit for the Mavs right now. He's a star in this league and would expedite the Mavs' ascent.
I agree. And if I had to pick just for, you know, to be contrarian to you, I think I'd probably go Brogdon.
Yeah. He'd be my second choice.
But if I just could pick one of those guys, I would pick Kemba because just thinking about an offense where you've got Luka, Porzingis, and Kemba Walker all in there playing.
It's a lot of points, man.
I mean, I can't think of any word other than just like explosive.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, that's a ton of points. And then you round out that lineup with 3-and-D guys. Who don't do much besides that 3-and-D, but dude, that would be a really fun offense to watch.
Luka definitely needs a guy who can shoot the 3.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's been the Mavs' problem the last 3 or 4 years is they don't have enough shooters, and they desperately need to fix that.
I'm really looking forward to NBA free agency, and it kicks off here. We're less than a week away. They've moved it up to 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Yep.
So we're really closing in on free agency. I'm really looking forward
to it. And I guarantee you, even before that, we'll have a little clearer picture on what's going on.
Here, hit the celebration horn, Jeffrey. The Mavericks have a rookie of the year. We'll talk about that next year on Can I Get a Podcast?
Welcome back, everybody. Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross. Last segment, we talked about some free agents the Mavs might be in for. But this segment, Chris, we are talking about a rookie of the year.
Luka Doncic from the NBA Awards last night was named rookie of the year. First off, before I want to kind of get into this conversation between Luka and Trae Young, but just like your gut feeling going into it, how did you feel this was going to go, Luka or Trae?
I thought it was going to be Luka. In the back of my mind, I was thinking maybe the voters are going to be really dumb and reward Trae for his great second half, but I pretty much knew it was Luka all the way. He deserved it. He was great from the get-go.
When you start looking at, if you're just going to go by like pure numbers, just looking at the numbers, they're similar. But Luka has the edge on most numbers. The only thing that you don't have is obviously Trae Young is getting more assists. It's either the 2-point or 3-point percentage. Now I forget. One of his shooting percentages are better. Other than that, I mean, Luka has him edged in every number. And this is what you have to take into account too. Luka continued to ball out even after a trade that took away every other single player he started with.
And that's where I think he separated himself because he, like 80% of his starting lineup, he was the only one that was returning. And so he had to make do with what he had, and I think he did quite well there. If the Mavs, like I've said this before, if the Mavs had kept that starting lineup intact, they're probably winning 40-41 games.
Yeah.
And it's just the nature of the business. They had to go get Porzingis. They had to make that trade. So, yeah, congrats to Luka. Well-deserved. And it's only the beginning.
It is, and it's cool that the Mavs have an award winner.
Finally, yeah. It's been a really... When was the last time the Mavs had an award winner? Was it Dirk?
I guess it would have been Dirk's MVP. that I can think of. I can't. Well, when was
Oh, you know what?
When was Jason Terry Sixth Man of the Year?
I think it might have been after that. So that might have been the last one.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll go with that.
So the if you're looking at pure numbers between Luka and Trey, I went back to look at my notes. Trey has Luka edged in assists, free throw percentage, and that's it. So this whole conversation was basically that it's all recency bias, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where Trey just had the last 3 months were just so stellar. He's a volume scorer, so that's why things took off. I never really was worried about Trey Young at all. The other thing you have to think about, too, is that it seemed like every night Luka Doncic was entering conversations with Hall of Fame players. Like, he was doing things.
Yes, people were talking about Luka like any other. No, people weren't, like, you didn't have Charles Barkley saying, oh, Luka and KP are the next great duo in the NBA. People weren't saying Trae Young and John Collins are the next great duo. I mean, Luka was getting people's attention.
When you're seriously having a conversation like, who had a better rookie year? Is it Luka Doncic or LeBron James? Like,
it's a serious conversation, and that is absolutely nuts to even think about.
And that's when you know you've entered into the realm of, like, we're seeing something special. He had 8 triple-doubles, I believe. Is that correct?
8 triple-doubles.
8 triple-doubles. All of them came after June 19th.
And he...
January 19th.
January 19th, yeah.
January 19th.
And he has 4/5 of the NBA's history teenage triple-doubles.
It's kind of crazy to think that this is... I'm still just kind of amazed that this was like a conversation.
Oh, I mean, Trey was a really good player this season. He wasn't Luka. And I think it's a kind of funny little storyline. Trey and Luka are actually like pretty good friends. And they love competing against each other. And so I think it's really funny because Mavs Twitter and Hawks Twitter have a little beef going on here. They have for however long this has been going on. But Trey and Luka are kind of like sitting in the back kind of laughing about it all.
This was a good NBA season for rookies because...
No, it was great. I mean, this was a historic season. You had the top 5 picks making the all-rookie first team. I mean, I think that's happened one other time, and I believe that was the... was it the Jordan year?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. It was something like that.
Jeffrey will look it up and maybe tweet it out if he can find the stat. The other thing that's crazy, too, is you have a rookie in DeAndre Ayton who averaged a double-double. And he's not even in the consideration. Like, he's not even in the conversation for Rookie of the Year.
In about any other year in NBA history, DeAndre Ayton would be a easy Rookie of the Year. I mean, he had a really good season, and he's going to be a really, really good player. It was just unfortunate that Luka and Trey were in his way.
And, yeah, I say all this, like, not to, like, demean Trey Young's season in any way, because he had a really good season, and he's fun to watch. Like, he can drain threes from ridiculous range.
Oh,
like
he has there. It's him and Steph Curry have unlimited range. Trae Young and Steph Curry also have something else in common. Do you know what that is?
0 finals.
That's correct.
You're right. As soon as you said that, I knew where you were going. But yeah, to kind of close out this conversation, it's going to be fun. I hope they both continue great playing, no injuries, because you have this storyline. They were traded for each other. And if they can just keep kind of, you know, building this rivalry, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Now that we know Trae Young and Cam Reddish for Luka Doncic, you doing it again?
Absolutely.
No doubt.
I'm doing it 110 out of 100 times.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, we're 1 year in, and we'll see 5 years down the line.
That's what I was going to say. You know, the cool thing is that they're in different conferences. I mean, it could be in 6-7 years they meet in the NBA Finals.
Finals matchup, that would be really cool.
That'd be awesome.
That would be really cool. Hopefully it's sooner than later. Like, are you talking like this is the 2020 NBA Finals?
No, not quite the 2020. 2024, 25, perhaps.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right, Jeffrey, we're going to close out the podcast here like we always do. It's the 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. When that buzzer goes off, you pass it to the next person. Jeffrey, I'll go first here because I'm just kind of heated over this. Adam Silver came out today, and he said that they're in favor of changing the term from NBA owners to NBA governors. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. People do realize the term was not to mean this is his title in relation to the players. He is the owner because he purchased and he owns the franchise. I mean, come on. This is when, like, being PC and being woke has gone too far. Like, we've gone too woke in the NBA when we've made this decision.
Absolutely. And without getting too political on here, yeah. I mean, come on. It's, come on.
Like, it's, for me, it makes no sense. And, like, I say all this to say, I don't do this to, like, demean anyone's feelings. And if you feel, if this is sensitive to you or you feel like, you know, this is a term that you find offensive, like, I can kind of see it, but it's also like when you just step back and you take a big look at this, this should not be that big of an issue.
I agree.
Jeffrey, your 24 seconds begin now.
So apparently there's this bill in California that's going to be allowed state college athletes to be compensated based on their name and likeness. And NCAA President Mark Emmert earlier today said if that's the case, California schools might be banned from NCAA competition. Chris, what are we... I mean, like... Could Mark Emmert be more out of touch with anything that's happening in the NCAA as the president of it?
What is just mind-blowing to me about the NCAA, when decisions seem like it's the smart choice, like the obvious choice to make...
They do the opposite?
Yes, Mark Emmert and the NCAA, always. They Incredible. Always go the wrong way.
And, you know, I do love my Pac-12 after dark, but it's on the contrary, it's... I mean, the Pac-12 sucks.
Yes.
So, would we really be missing much?
We were kind of talking about this earlier before we started recording with some of our coworkers here at 103.3 FM ESPN. It's like, okay, who are your three potential Pac-12 teams to make the playoff? And I'm like, can we cut that to one?
Yeah. It's,
like, I think one is even
And
much.
Even so, an undefeated Pac-12 champion might not make it to the playoff over like a one-loss SEC team who loses in the championship game.
We are very close to making it the Power Four conferences.
Or
and
even
kicking the Pac-12 out.
Or even removing the Pac-12 and bringing the American in. I mean, they're losing UConn, yeah. So they're upgrading in football there. So we'll see.
Jeffrey, that's going to do it for the podcast here today. Follow him on Twitter at jcoopjr27. Follow me at chrisisgross, K-R-I-S-I-S-G-R-O-S-S. If it takes us a little while into next week to do our free agency podcast, you can definitely find our thoughts on Mavs moves. Just generally other moves that are being made throughout the NBA.
I like to tweet.
Jeffrey does like to tweet. He's definitely tweeting a lot. You can find him there on Twitter. But Jeffrey, that's only one way to get out the word about our station, about our podcast. What's another way to get the word out there?
All you MFFLs need to tell your friends. You need to tell your family. You need to tell your boss, your coworkers, your cubicle neighbors.
Yes, definitely.
But Chris, the most important person is here.
If you are an MFFL and you have an ex-wife, you must tell your ex-wife.
That's correct.
That's going to do it for the podcast here this week. Hopefully it's an exciting first couple hours of NBA free agency. We'll find out on Sunday. We will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.